I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes. January 7th.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Public comments? Anybody want to continue talking? All right. Old business, first discussion is parking on Highway 421. You know, obviously we just had a public hearing on that. Is there... Yeah, and actually Charlie made a good point. We may need to make this motion again because technically I'm not sure if we can make a motion in a public hearing.
You have a special meeting. I think you closed the public hearing and I think motion was definitely appropriate.
Okay, so the motion to have you, to think, okay, that's fine. But I didn't want to check on that to make sure that we're following the rules. Okay, all right. Is there any more discussion on parking on 421? I would say the big issue is what is our next step? So we might want to talk about that. You know, think about it. Get the memorandum and from Mr. Eldridge, and then you know, put off our discussion until next planning commission. Or do we want to have a second hearing, or just any ideas of what we should be doing for the next step?
Let's get the information from Mr. Eldridge, and then go from that point first.
Did anybody have a people count?
24.
24? I just say that's important, remember?
Okay.
That's awesome.
Do you, as our group here, do we see making a recommendation to the council dealing with what we talked about tonight on 421, or taking to the council a full Curie Beach 30,000 foot view of parking, public parking, private parking, paid parking that Mr. Mozinski has been looking into, the parking that's on the books today that Attorney Eldridge is going to look. What do we want to give the council?
Well, I
the answer to that is how far we go.
I was there and presented and got direction from the council. And council clearly wanted us to look at a broader issue. I mean, that was the sense that I got is that, you know, we were talking about 421. You know, we talked about what we found out from the state in terms of the ability to regulate and in terms of the discussion about what they wanted us to do. It was clearly addressing 421. And then the council also saw the problem, well, if we address 421, that's going to push off maybe some issues into the community. And so there was a general feeling that we were supposed to look at a broader issue. I don't think they want us to, you know, replicate what SLAP did, you know, that you know, come out with recommendations for paid parking and things like that. I think they wanted a kind of primary focus on the 421, but also recognizing that it might be a slightly broader issue. But they clearly want a recommendation from the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission is responsible for coming up with a recommendation to the council. You know, that was made quite clear that, you know, that everybody else is someone in an advisory role. But they want a recommendation from the council or from the commission.
Well, we got nothing tonight presented from either Mr. Allo's committee or SLAP saying here is their organization's take on this issue.
He told me he didn't want to speak tonight. He wanted to listen.
Okay.
Yeah, that was his role tonight. So, I mean, one of the things we could do, I mean, really is pretty much up to us to organize and manage this process. We can hold another hearing. We can ask SLAP to, you know, that he was here. Some of our committee members were here to come up with recommendations and make a recommendation to us. And then we take that recommendation, toss it around, debate it. We can invite them back in next month. You know, I think we'll all probably have thought about this a little bit more. We'll have Mr. Eldridge's take on things as to what we can do and what is allowed currently and what we could create. Sounds like we have a lot of discretion, clearly.
I think it's fair, Craig, for you to engage the council with the main question that Debbie asked, which is, how would you like us to look at this? You know, we could bring you, you could have three proposals. One, draconian, one that doesn't change the culture of the town, one that is some type of a morph look or whatever. But I think it's fair for you to ask us, how do you want us to approach this? I mean, on the solution, I don't know. I think it's, or are you think you're going to make that recommendation based on the feedback you get from the folks?
The one thing I'm concerned about, I'm a little nervous, is this started off as a pretty simple, what do we do about 421?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's expanding into paid parking and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I'm a little concerned that, you know, clearly we'll do anything that the council directs, but, you know, planning and zoning is not typically the commission that's responsible for looking at parking issues and that sort of thing. So
I'd offer this, Craig. I don't think you need to come up with it. I think you can address parking, whether it be paid or unpaid. How do you manage parking? If council wants to add paid parking to the management process, fine. But how would you just manage people coming into town so they know they can't park any place they wish to, which is what they do now, and get everybody upset?
Personally, I would like to keep the focus on 421. You know, that's really how the whole thing starts. Keep the focus on 421, understanding that if we come up with a recommendation for 421, that we also have to recognize that it might push some parking issues into the cul-de-sacs, you know, right there. But I mean, my own personal opinion, clearly, it's the commission's decision as to where to go. I think we're starting to step on other committees' responsibilities and starting to move in an area that is not normally our area if we go beyond the directive about 421 and maybe kind of the surrounding areas.
I don't think it's more difficult than saying, you know, do this on 421. And oh, by the way, our recommendation is if you're going to do this on 421, you better mark spaces in these five, Drake's Hill, Howard Hill, Craig's Place, whatever the heck those things are down here. You better mark them, because if you don't mark them in the cul-de-sac, you're going to have people pushing in here and blocking the lights. Right?
And see, right now, and that's why I think this is important, according to the ordinance, they can do that. They can go back there and they can park, because there's nothing here that restricts that.
Right.
Parking on those cul-de-sacs and residential streets. And that's why I think what Mr. Eldridge is going to be doing is very, very important to see what is actually in place before we start coming up with recommendations.
You're absolutely correct, because people, if they can't park if you don't mark the places, I think they'll park in right away in front of the yard.
Yeah. Chairman, can I comment?
Yeah.
Number one, I mean, maybe it's a formality because of meetings, but it's certainly okay if everybody calls me Jim. I kind of prefer that.
All right. Okay.
I agree with your comments about taking on too big a policy role. You know, if you think about it, we're going to come up with an overview of, for lack of a better term, regulatory authority. You make a recommendation on the thing that started all this, 421 in Ocean Dunes, and then you take the feedback you're getting of how that problem is segues into the whole broader issue. And then you can deliver all that feedback to council for their policy considerations. I think that's your mission, and I think that it's a good way to meet it. I don't know that it's fair to the commission to try to address all these problems. I mean, it's just domino.
Has council had discussions? Do they have any thoughts which way they want to proceed?
Sorry?
Has council had any discussions? Any thoughts on which way they want to proceed with land?
Council, like everything, has five opinions. So, how many of them would you make to have three similar opinions? I believe we all, I'll talk for me, would like input on best minds in the community as to how can this be managed, because we all want to manage it. And we know that some people are going to be upset no matter what. If you do nothing, people will be upset. If you do something, people are going to be upset. So, to quote a famous councilman, he says, all I have to do is win 51%. You know, that's what I need to win. But from that perspective, Jim's really right on. Hey, here's what started this. Here's what we think the actions are. We're not telling you to mark the spaces, but your recommendation might be mark spaces. You know, and then we can say, Tony, how many spaces do we have? Oh, we got 758. Okay, what do you think it would take to mark them? And should we have any of those spaces? You might, I'm just thinking, you might say, we're going to have spaces along 421 in the right-of-way where we're going to actually put gravel in there and put four concrete things. And they're going to be every 100 feet. And so maybe there'll be a total of 25 parking spaces along a certain area. And if you're not there early enough, tough. But if you park somewhere other than those spaces, you're going to get a ticket, or you're going to get a tow, or you're going to get a boot. But I personally believe it just comes down to just mark the damn spaces. And if they're not in a marked space,
$500?
I don't know about that. That's
what it means. They have to do it.
That's pretty serious.
It's
so I don't know the answer. There's probably more clever stuff than that. The tougher question to me is, what are you guys going to do about the rental properties that are really causing?
Well, that's the rental certificate issue, well, which right, is the right. second. And all right. So anyway, what do we want to do in terms of the process? You know, let's think about that. Do we want to just hold off our discussion to the next P&Z meeting in March? Do we want to have another public hearing? Do we want to just simply have a kind of a closed hearing with? I'm not sure if we can have closed hearings with the P&Z, but kind of a workshop with the SLAP and.
You can have an executive session as a public body. That's not a problem. If you do get more feedback, the only recommendation I would make is that you get the regulatory overview before you start getting more stuff so you can process it more effectively.
Yeah, I'm not sure what more feedback that would be different than what we heard tonight. We started to kind of circle around a little bit, which means that we're probably at the point where we've gotten the major feedback, and the missing part is the regulatory component and the discretionary components. Anyway, what do you want to do? I know the council wanted us to get together with the other two committees, and which we didn't hear from them today. So, you know, I think that's an important thing that we do have an opportunity of working with them and have their insights before we come up with any real discussion or recommendation. And I guess what's the best way of doing that? 6 o'clock and have like an executive session 6 o'clock in our March meeting, but not as an open, publicly announced hearing, but just simply with the two committees, with Tony's and Charles' committee.
You'd have to fit it into a statutory exception. Mm-hmm. I'd have to take a look at what they are.
Yeah,
if we open it up at 6, any time other than your normal time, we have to notice it.
Or we could just invite them and just plan on our regular 7 o'clock meeting and just have it on the agenda. And we just just make it more of a working session, but it's on the agenda. So
that would be the easiest.
All right, so if I can just kind of summarize our old business on parking on Highway 421, Jim will come in with a memorandum / discussion, looking at the regulatory component as well as the discretionary component, looking both at the local as well as state components related to regulation. We will have our regular 7 o'clock meeting, and we will have this as old business and continue our discussion. And I also want to make sure that the two committees are specifically invited and understand that we will have a discussion about this issue, and that it's important that they are here. So that would be my
invited and presented, or just invited. If you want them to make a presentation,
invited and presentation if they want to give a presentation. Yes, about their thoughts and/or recommendations. Because they heard exactly the same discussion we heard tonight. So. Is that okay? I'm not sure if we need a motion for that. Do we need a motion to continue?
Yeah, we should.
Okay.
Yeah, continue discussion.
Well, I'll make a motion to continue our discussion on parking on Highway 421.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Before we run on to the next one, I do have a question about parking, not dealing with the process. One of the statements in this book of the code, parking on the left side of the street, it shall be unlawful for any person to park any vehicle upon the left side of any street except when permitted on one-way streets.
That makes sense.
What is
the word? I don't know what they're trying to do, so you're not parking in the opposite way. It's just a very poorly worded
I propose a text amendment. That pretty much being construed as sitting in the front seat of your cars.
I know, but if I'm coming out of the way on this,
when you're going in the other direction, right. Your left is on the other side of the street. So that's one way to say no parking on the street.
You can't park anywhere on that street.
But I think the first is the opposite, where if you're going this way, you're not supposed to park.
It's only interpretation. There's no parking on the public street.
I think what's
opposite parking.
Driving that way, I can park that way. I'm not supposed
to. It's done on a daily basis. The town's missing a revenue source.
That's one thing, too, Ed. That's a good point. When you're reading the six pages here, you may want to kind of note where there could be some clarification of language.
Tweak it here, tweak it there.
Yes.
Change it from Old English.
All right, rental certificates. Speaking, since we had several people actually mention this issue, I think it's appropriate that we're going to talk about that. And I believe Jim was going to kind of tweak this a little bit, and so then we decide.
If you'd like, Chairman, I could take just 2 minutes to go through the...
Sure. I'd be happy to.
Again, I'm sorry that you didn't get it before the email this afternoon. At the last meeting,
We don't have copies of this, do we?
It was emailed.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't put it off.
Or do you want to run real quick?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, that's my fault for getting it to Jody.
I saw the email there, and I
got
it. I didn't print it off, so.
So I got Jody. I have one too.
Nope. So three more.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
The SLAP committee that came up with the four studies, were they appointed, or how did they volunteer? How were they selected?
The committee is appointed by the council.
Okay.
The committee is appointed by the council, and they're charged with, one of the charges is parking. That they look at. And they've done a number of studies, four studies, come up with recommendations, presented to council, and... I didn't know there were four studies, but I do know there are a couple studies.
But the studies were not just that the folks from this town on that committee going out and doing the surveys and stuff. There's a company, the last one that was Lanier. Presented.
Lanier did it twice.
Yeah, Lanier did it twice.
A company called Lanier presented to their committee, here's what we could do for you in public, unpaid parking. And they presented that to the council.
And it's not only just paid parking. I believe the parking studies also looked at the amount of parking. They did an inventory of parking. There's a number of things that they looked at. One of the components was a paid parking component. But a lot had to do with property that could be used for parking. And so it's kind of a broader parking type of study.
That committee, however, is a volunteer committee. If you are interested in that, you can go to the website, you can apply to that committee, and if there is an opening, because the numbers are set, and there may be an opening either for an alternate or for regular, you can apply and be appointed to that committee and be a voice and it's speech protection as well as parking.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Again, Commission, I'm sorry for the late delivery on that, but now that we've got it in front of us, The first, there were approximately three sets of revisions. And we don't need to read the whole thing. I can point you to those revisions that we can walk through. The first one's on the bottom of page 1, section 3, definitions and exemptions. The commission and Mr. Batson educated me last meeting that there was a Vacation Rental Act. So when I went into the Vacation Rental Act and I saw those definitions and I saw in subsection B the exemptions, I thought that they fit very well into what we were addressing. So I basically lifted them out of the statute and inserted them with some little tweaks into the ordinance, and the commission can determine whether they fit well or not. In my opinion, they do. For example, vacation rental, the rental of any residential property. Well, of course, we have defined residential property before we define vacation rental, and renting it for vacation, leisure, or recreation for fewer than 90 days by a person who has a permanent residence which they intend to return. That's right from the statute. And the exemptions help narrow the scope of that. Hotels, motels, etc. are exempted. Temporary rentals for employment or business are exempted, and rentals to persons having no other residence are exempted.
What does that mean, Chief?
I'm not quite sure what that means. I guess,
you could have a month.
If I was the landlord, well, you could have a month. That's good. If I was a landlord and I was trying to help somebody who was out because of a fire and they needed a temporary residence, I would argue that this, even if I rented it out as a vacation rental 9 months out of the year, I would say don't cite me in this instance because the act doesn't apply. I'm helping out my friend who was burned out of his home. Something along those lines.
Jim, it looks like a typo on the last word of the first page. Check that. See if I'm reading that right.
Yes, you're correct. Statutes. Thank you.
Why would rental to persons temporarily renting a dwelling unit and traveling away from their primary residence for business or employment purposes still not be?
Again,
I mean, it's not a vacation rental, but it seems to me that. I mean, somebody could come down here and say, well, they're looking at some property to buy, and that's why they're here.
I'm not sure why the Act had that particular exemption.
Well, like Corning has temporary employees, they rent out places for 6 months, and they have a company that finds them places to live for 6 months.
For example, our place on 4th Street that we use for our firefighters.
And when I first came to the area, the law firm I worked for put me in a beachfront condo for 3 months.
No, I understand what they're saying, but what I'm always concerned about is how this can be used to get around the ordinance. Okay.
You can show local employment.
Yeah, well, I mean, business purposes. For business purposes, I just go there and say, well, I'm interested in buying a piece of property. You know, I'm checking it out. I'm
researching my novel.
I'm researching my novel, yes.
That's a good one. I don't know what we do with that.
I tend to agree with the chairman's thinking on that. Should we take that particular exemption out?
I think that opens a lot of, I understand why it might be there, but I see it as a huge hole that people could drive through if they want to.
And they will.
Yes.
If we took it out and somebody came to the commission or the council and said they'd like an exemption for 30 days while they look around the town to open up a business, could you then exempt that one case by case?
I think if somebody felt strongly that they weren't subject to this ordinance, then they could take the definition of vacation rental and try to make a distinction from that. I think that's a tighter, I think that's a closer question where the chairman's correct. A business purposes leaves it pretty wide open.
If we take it to arbitration, I guess.
I mean, we don't need to make a motion right now. Let's just kind of work.
Okay. I don't think there were any other significant changes until we get the permit conditions. Now, to explain my thought process on these revisions, we had some talk last time about what the property owner may be responsible for versus the tenant who's violating either an ordinance or a law. And the chairman made some good points about how, in the case of conditions on the property, the owner may nonetheless be responsible. But still, I felt it was soft in terms of establishing owner's violations, and we used some generic language about do this, do that, and take reasonable steps. Well, the Vacation Rental Act had a very interesting remedy in it that I've incorporated towards the end. It'll be the third significant revision that we looked at, and that basically is expedited evictions. And when I saw what the requirements under the statute were to commence an expedited eviction, which I think we would be interested in, about the only one that would fit is if the tenant was in material breach of the rental agreement. So with that mindset, with that framework in mind, I went back and rewrote the permit conditions. You will not see a change in A and B. Basically, the vacation homeowner or the agent that's constructing the rental agreement has to make an express provision that they won't violate the maximum number of occupants. That's A. As set forth in the permit. B, another express provision in the rental agreement that, and I did play with the syntax on this particular one, shall not, that rental property, vacation rental shall not be used by tenants to engage in commercial activities. And C, I really corrected the syntax here, so let's walk through it. Vacation homeowners and agents shall expressly provide in their rental agreements that tenants, and think about it, that's easy to do. You're just putting some language in your agreement. That language says, tenant, you agree that you shall not violate any law, ordinance, rule, or regulation. You agree that you won't engage in disorderly or illegal conduct. That you agree not to engage in activities creating or resulting in unreasonable noise that gets you to your noise ordinance, which arguably the owner could be responsible for. Disturbances, public nuisances, again, a condition on property for the owner. Allow unreasonable amount of garbage, et cetera, et cetera. And then when you get to D.
Since we just had a discussion on parking, can we talk quickly about illegally parked vehicles in conjunction with their use?
We can talk about it, but I swear it sounds like a tough nut to crack for me. And given that example of a McMansion with parking for four max, if the garages are open and you got eight vehicles and then there's no place else to... I'm not sure what you do in a case like that. I mean, it's still... It doesn't matter to us if the if you got an ordinance that says that in that case, if they park anywhere other than the drive, it's their problem if you regulate it. It's not our problem. It's their problem. And if you regulate it and it becomes an illegal parking, then your permit condition says you can't do that.
So just to make sure, so it kind of ties back into this parking thing that. In the example of where there's four spaces to park, they bring in eight cars. They could park the extra four cars legally, of course, you know, in any place in Kiri Beach, but if they parked it illegally, based upon the sort of things that we're talking about, then that violates this particular ordinance.
Then that tenant...
It triggers it.
Then that tenant has breached that rental agreement, which segues right into D.
Okay.
D says, and now we're setting up, and these are for the real problem makers. now we're setting up the basis for evicted, expedited eviction. D says that rental agreement shall also provide that if you violate, if the tenant violates the express provisions required under A, B, and C, then that's a material breach of the rental agreement, and the agreement can be terminated at that point, which takes you right to the top of the next page. And here we're trying to establish some responsibilities on the part of the owners. Vacation homeowners and their agents shall take reasonable steps to ensure the tenant's compliance with the express provisions required under A and C above. As used herein, reasonable steps shall be construed to include posting the permit and the conditions in a conspicuous place. You know, the first three are just no-brainers. Promptly contacting tenants when notified of violations of the permit conditions. Before, we had laws and regulations, but now we can just simply shorthand that by saying the permit conditions, because A and C, A, B, C that we looked at before were the permit conditions. Three, contacting law enforcement when necessary. And four.
Let me stop that. I just so I understand this. If I am an owner of a property, okay, and I know, according to three, and I know a criminal activity is taking place, I'm obligated to contact law enforcement. I mean, that's what it says.
Why not?
Yeah. That's okay. I just want to make sure that
if I own a house.
So if I know those guys are smoking pot.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
in my house.
I mean, if somebody.
You don't want to be an accessory.
Well, I don't know. I can't speak to that. I'm a new criminal. But the whole idea here is to set up deterrence for whatever.
No, I understand. I just want to make sure that everybody understands that, it puts a. I own about 10 properties, and I have 10 rental agreements. And by the way, I am going to change my rental agreements to reflect the type of language you have there, because I think that's really good language. That language should be in a rental agreement in terms of like your seat, you know, right there that you know, can't violate federal, state, local laws and all that sort of thing. That's good language. That's good language. But as I start to think about it, my goodness.
Well, now hang on. Let's look at it this way. I understand your point. Maybe we should say contacting law enforcement when notified of alleged criminal activity on the premises is something like whenever a reasonable person would deem it necessary. You know, throw the reasonable person standard in.
Now, but again, does criminal mean misdemeanor? I guess that's a thing too.
Criminal is criminal. I don't care whether it's misdemeanor or felony.
Okay, so criminal is.
You can have an ordinance that results in a criminal act. You can have a criminal code that results in a misdemeanor.
Because that means if I'm an owner and I know those people are illegally parking, that's a criminal act, and I'm obligated to.
Well, it depends on whether the ordinance treats illegal parking as a criminal act or as a civil penalty in the nature of
that. So yeah, we've got to be careful about that. So okay, I'm just raising as I'm starting to think about these things because. That puts a real burden upon not only the owner, but obviously it's the agent too that's obligated to do this through that process.
Well, why don't we just, look at three, contacting law enforcement, then take your pen and strike out when notified of alleged criminal activity on the vacation home premises through or. So it now reads, contacting law enforcement when a reasonable person would deem the assistance of law enforcement to be necessary under the conditions then prevailing on the premises, or something. You can even take out the last five words.
Okay. Again, we're just talking now.
I think that it reads better if you strike out all those. And then four launches you to the expedited eviction procedures because you wouldn't get there unless they violated the language in A, B, and C, and D tells you if they do that, it's a material breach of the agreement, and the Act allows you to expedite eviction when there's a material breach of the rental agreement. And, you know, just as you have persons and entities that are chronic public nuisances, that's not the right word, but council, the commission knows what I'm talking about, you'll have those tenants that are just bad apples. And this kind of puts a burden. Again, I don't think you want to legislate that somebody has to go commence an expedited eviction procedure every time. That's, my gut tells me that's not going to fly. So hence the qualifying language when applicable and reasonable. So if you've got a tenant that's in there for 30 days on a vacation rental, and the police are constantly coming out there with their blue lights and or whatever, they're having parties every night, etc. Reasonable, you know, and that goes on for a week solid. A reasonable person would say, hey, let's evict these people. So what is reasonable is always going to be open to interpretation, but it does, having reasonable in there prevents it from being constitutionally infirm. And that is the last significant change. Everything else was the same. I did correct the administrative hearing to cover revoked permits as well as civil penalty citations. And remember, we took out the criminal aspect and used magic language that was necessary to keep the civil penalties from going to the school board so that the town can collect them instead. So, not too many changes, but I think a better product if the commission agrees from the draft that we saw last month.
I just one real quick. We started off with the 30 days, but I understand the vacation rental definition is 90 days.
Judgment call on the commission, whichever way they want to go on that.
I mean, could we still just have our definition of vacation rental and just cross it 90 and make it 30 days, or would that affect the whole thing?
No.
It was 30 days, but we changed it to 90 days here. Okay.
I did. Again, I just lifted that definition.
Because that's really, it started off as a short-term rental agreement.
Well, it,
90 days doesn't seem really short-term.
Yeah, 90 days or less, but
that's a seasonal rental rather than short-term. What we're trying to get is the weekly project.
Does that mean that if you do have somebody who's acting in accordance with number 3, but because they've rented it for 32 days,
they can have
doesn't apply.
Much criminal activity as they want. I don't report it.
Just on the 34th.
It's at 31 days. So I'm not reporting.
Email me that address.
That's like a fun place. I had in my notes, maybe from last month, where we had changed the title from vacation home rentals to short-term rentals.
Because I thought the name of the act was short-term. The name of the act ended up being vacation.
Okay, it is. Okay.
Help me on the number A under permit conditions at the end. Why is the number not to exceed 2 feet to spend in the night?
I, with all due respect, that language that's not my language. I took that out of the original draft.
Right, and I cut and paste that out of somebody else's short-term rental, you know, which is seemed to be a model template that was used. I think that came out of California. Every single short-term rental had the same language, and I think that was cut and paste out of that language, so it's not a...
You can only have 2 people spend the night?
Per bedroom.
If you're in California with a
Plus four.
Yeah, so it's two adult persons per bedroom plus 4 additional per resident. So, you know, that would, for a 5-bedroom place, that would allow 14 people.
A lot of cars.
Yeah, so that's a lot of cars. But we still restrict the parking.
We'll have them direct to parking to the corral and overflow parking at the corral.
That actually allows a lot of people, you know, to go into a...
When I rented the Alton home, mine ended with just the 2 out here. I apologize.
Yeah, there wouldn't be much of a parking problem then.
We are really restricted to vacation rentals. There's nobody in my neighborhood that complies with that.
Comments, questions?
I've got a question. Across the street from where I live, a gentleman has a duplex upstairs and downstairs. He filled in underneath the house. When he did that, he took away all the parking except for four cars. He rents it out, 18 people. There's the four cars at the house, and then there's an empty lot. And he, one weekend, there were seven cars parked in that empty lot. They got a pool of boat in there. Of course, at that point, I went downstairs and said, this is not a free parking lot. You need to move these vehicles. You know, this is ridiculous. They leave such willing trash.
So you were unpopular.
I was very not popular that day. I probably wouldn't get arrested if this not settled down in this empty lot. I guarantee you that. But what would this rental certificate do for something like that? He advertises on his webpage that if you have bring too many cars, you just free parking across the street. I have written a letter to the property owner.
Does he own the lot across the street?
No, I have written the property owner, and I've not received a response back. I've just sent the letter out saying, I'll put the sign up to restrict parking. I'll maintain it. I'll keep it up.
That's a code enforcement violation from top to bottom. He's using property in a way that's probably not regulated by the table of uses, and he has no authority. He's trespassing.
And even if he's even if the property owner gives him permission, it still violates the zoning.
That's right.
So
but even if he's not paying for it.
See, I mean,
actually, John knows this one.
This is why I like to always look at these type of ordinances, just like what I said, is how will it prevent the problems? Okay, but the people that are going to come in, like what you're describing or something like that, we don't want to make it, and for the 95-99% of the people, this is just, all right, I'll do a certificate, I'll pay my $50, and it's not going to be a problem. I'll stick this language into the rental agreement, and it's not going to be a problem. But we need to absolutely make certain is that this will maybe not prevent but inhibit those 5 or 1% problem situations. So we always need to look at it in that light. Will it help you in that particular situation?
I would call this is simply property protection for the rental owners. Mm-hmm.
This and is encouragement that they act in a proper manner.
This is rental owner protection.
It's CYA.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And it also tells them what they can do and what they should do. And it puts a little teeth if they don't.
Yeah.
Seems to work.
I would think most people that read that would say, great, now I have teeth to get people to do what I really expect them to do and they rent from me.
One thing I don't see in here now, maybe I'm missing it, which it was, I'm sorry. It's a copy of the owner's most recent room occupancy tax return. I think that's important because that person may not be paying the room occupancy tax. So at least we can get some money if they
don't all the rental houses have to have a business like a privilege license?
Privilege licenses have been abolished by the General Assembly.
General Assembly has said we can't no more charge.
That revenue stream is gone as of, I believe, July 1.
That's why we have to call them out privilege license.
Why we need the $500 parking ticket.
or
that's why, to some extent, this replaces, to some extent, the notion.
So that means I don't longer have to get a privilege license?
You don't. Honestly, Alan, you don't. They're done away with. They're gone.
Yeah.
I just got one the other day.
Yeah.
Granted, she told me it will expire and it will only be good until July, but I still had it.
Yeah. After July, there's no more.
You sell all those trains.
And I think even after July, limited physical presence in the jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Well, are we ready, Chairman?
I think we're ready to have a
public hearing. We have one double I in the early part. Changing the 90-day to 30-day. Are we ready to present this to the council?
I think we have to have a public hearing on this before it comes out to the council. Because the first thing the council is going to ask is have you had a public hearing? And because we're bound to get some feedback on this. So. And I think a lot of people think it's going to be a lot of feedback. I don't think this is onerous. I don't see a big problem.
The people who this will apply to are in town right now.
Yeah. So let's have a public hearing in March.
But, it's fair.
Oh, man.
At the same token, I mean, I probably, vacation rentals is good, but I'd also make sure that people know it's rental property protection, owner protection.
I didn't know if staff wanted to weigh in on this.
The concern I already had is on section 8, letter F.
Yeah, 8F on page 3.
Yes, where it talks about sketch plan showing the number and location of on-property parking spaces. And am I supposed to assume that we're using town ordinances pertaining to parking for residential houses? Or should we expand?
I've requested some feedback from you on that. How do you think that should be worded, given the current state of...
I'd kind of rather it be spelled out what the parking space is to be expected. Otherwise, this is going to be a constant discussion for me when they draw those spaces out.
So it could be parenthetical and state. How many lines is that? Just add that.
Yeah, add something such as town right-of-way that's not counted in the required spaces, and a parking space is a minimum of 9 by 20 per 20.
Can you state that again? Town right-of-way not considered, would be provided, however, that town right-of-way is not a parking space. And what was the second thing?
Parking spaces defined as 9 by 20.
Could that be included in Section 3 definitions, and then just refer back to definitions?
That's a good idea. John, I'm curious, where does the 9 by 20 definition, is that out of the code?
It is out of the code.
Yeah, so under item F, just say C definition.
You wouldn't even need to, you wouldn't have to say CF, I mean, if it's in there.
There, okay.
I like the idea of making it a definition to keep the language short on I.
No, I was just thinking about the 9 by 20. When you put it out on the road, you get a good idea of what a 9 by 20 is, because for the cars, you put them in the driveway, you probably get 4 cars in the driveway at 9 by 20.
That all depends on where your property starts and stops. So.
Well, that's true.
9 by 20.
A lot of people think their property goes all the way to the road where their driveway terminates, and it does not.
Is commission okay with that definition?
Well, we're going to have to take a, make motions on these things. We'll do that in a second. So it's about 4 things I'd like to make a motion on and see how the commission votes on it.
Good catch.
All right, can I suggest that, I'll go ahead and make a motion that does. Okay, first motion is that we change under Section 3 definition for vacation rental, change 90 days to 30 days. That would be my motion.
I'll second.
Okay, is there further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Second is to put in the definition section appropriate language regarding parking, that the town right-of-way is not counted as parking, and that a parking space is defined as 9 feet by 20 feet. And again, you can use the exact definition of that, or write it up. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Third thing I heard was on under permit conditions 9.
Chairman, did you want to address the exemption?
Yes, that's right. This is the exemption. I'm going to make a motion to strike number II under B. Rental to persons temporarily renting a dwelling when traveling away from primary resident or business for employment purposes. By dropping it to 30 days, I think we're just going to, that's just unnecessary. And it opens a big hole. So I would make a motion to strike that. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
And then the last one is on, I can see them, the opposition coming down, that's why I allowed that one. Under permit conditions, under D, excuse me, under E, this is under E's sentence 3, to strike after contracting law enforcement, strike when notified of alleged criminal activity on the vacation home premises, or. So it's contacting law enforcement when a reasonable person, et cetera. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Did I miss anything?
Not by my notes.
Okay. I would recommend that we hold a public hearing on this prior to our March meeting.
So were they both at the March, the parking with the two committees at our meeting and then the public hearing prior?
Prior to it. Okay. That'd be my recommendation on this. Because this has parking components in it too, so I think it's appropriate.
Chairman, are you asking for, like today, a special meeting at 6 or just putting them both on the regular meeting agenda?
What? I mean, it's been on the regular agenda now for about 4 months, and we've had really nobody show up. So if we hold a public hearing, it would be announced in a paper and that sort of thing. I think we would probably have, and I think that's probably what council would be asking that we did, have we held a public hearing about this with notice. Or I guess we could notice it and simply have it as part of our regular meeting.
That probably would be advisable if you haven't had much interest in it ahead of time. I mean,
you have been pumped.
We never get interested.
You've been pumped through the same process, right? You didn't pump it through the HOAs.
Right.
Put it in a paper. You didn't.
Right. We haven't really noticed it in the way that a public hearing would be held. Notice.
So I mean, do what you want, but I'm telling you, the reason you had 24 people here was because you did a lot better effort.
I think the same should be done with it.
Right.
It should be emailed to every realty company, management company, out there.
Yeah.
Every rental house, they should have a right to know about it. No one looks at our agendas on.
Yeah, as a resident. You don't tell them. I agree with you. If you don't tell them, they're not going
to. People I've talked to, I'm real happy with it. They want to show. They want to show up. So yeah. I think they need to be notified.
I think as part of that publication, it ought to be the 5 pages in the town paper. Or
well, that'd be expensive.
Normally, you put in your notice that interested persons can pick up copies of the proposed ordinance at the town clerk's office.
I guess the question, I think everybody agrees that we want to have people have good discussion, so it needs to be noticed in the appropriate way. Do we do it as a special hearing prior to our March meeting at 6:30 or whatever, or do we do it as part of our regular meeting?
I think you're gambling on who may or may not show up if you set up a special, so I don't see a problem with putting it on the regular. For those reasons.
Then I'll make a motion that we continue our discussion of rental certificates to our March meetings, but that we also do appropriate notification as Alan suggested through emails or mails to various rental agencies, publish in the paper.
HOAs.
Yeah, the HOAs.
They'll send it to the owners who are the resident, let's call it the absent landlords.
Yeah, Chairman, can I ask Ms. Fitzgerald a question? Josie, will the notice state that interested persons can pick up a copy of the ordinance?
We can put that in
if
you'd like.
Yeah, I think because, the proposed ordinance.
Or find it online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. All right. Josie, I'll make these changes next day or two.
Is it going to be stated as a special meeting or?
No, it's going to be part of our, I think, recommendation by Jim was that which is part of our regular meeting.
Should we cover it under public comments?
It'll be covered under.
I don't want to say why we're doing it different than we did for the parking issue.
Well, it's the same thing. You're going to have the public hearing. You could do it as a special meeting, or you can do it just as easily as a regular meeting. That doesn't matter. I guess the only real consideration is if you get as many people, you'll be here later as opposed to earlier. That's about the only difference. Procedurally, it's one and the same. Doesn't matter which kind of a meeting you put it in.
you want, I mean, I can leave it away. It doesn't have to be at all.
The stipulation was is that they advertised it as if it were basically, we're going to get it out to everybody, but then handle it as part of.
But the advertisement would be as part of our regular, or I mean, if you feel strongly that should be 6 o'clock public hearing, I have no problem with that.
I'm assuming it would be first on the agenda.
Well, that would be part of our.
I don't think. I'd be discussing it by 7:07.
I don't think.
Yeah, it's probably.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with
it. Well, no, because we have the parking. We're going to have a big discussion on the parking.
We've got a discussion on parking and all that stuff. I don't think it's right for public hearing. Who's interested in people?
The special meeting would give it prominence.
I think it should.
You want to make a motion to be held as a special meeting then?
Even if it's a half hour before, I think it should be a special meeting. Give us time to talk to them instead of people having to sit and listen to. Parking issue,
okay.
And all that stuff, and then wait for.
I'm inclined to do this as a special meeting. I think this is significant enough that a special meeting makes sense. It's going to create some interest, some notice, and it's going to be half. You know, even if it goes through the special meeting process here and it goes to the town council because it's an ordinance, they're going to have a public hearing on it anyway. So this is like a double whammy in terms of the public hearing. So. You want to make a motion to have the discussion of the rental certificate as a special hearing at 6:30? Is that what you suggested? 6:30 to our reform marketing? Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, good.
Well, thank you all. That's good.
Okay, new business. Any new business? Is this?
All right.
The last meeting?
I'm sure you don't want to stay a little bit longer.
I was looking for my dog's chair. My many months, years of service. And so, thank you. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, well, it's been an enjoyable process of serving with you. So.
October 2012. So nice. Not as long as you two.
All righty. Member items. Any member items? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Double.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.